Hello everyone, Anthony Credelli here from the E-Mini Exchange, and welcome to Futures Radio, sponsored by CME Group. I just want to remind all of you, follow me on Twitter and StockTwits at Anthony Credelli. Use that hashtag Futures Radio for your questions or comments on our Futures Radio shows and topics. You can also email me directly, info@eminiexchange.com. And be sure to go to the website, get on our email list. This way you can be up to date with what's happening with Futures Radio. The website is eminiexchange.com, by the way. Now, I want to thank everybody for all the comments from last week's show. And this week, I will be the guest. And I know that some of you may be listening for the first time and may not know much about me. So I want to give you a quick background on myself. I've been a member of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for 16 years. I've worked and traded in many pits at the Merc, but primarily the S&P 500 pit. And I eventually became a full-time screen trader in 1999. Now I have an absolute passion for technical analysis. I mean, I spend probably a majority of my day looking at charts and constantly going over technicals for the market. And I actually created my own indicator over a decade ago called AI. And that brings me to what else I do on a day-to-day basis is I'm the founder of the E-Mini Exchange. And we have a trading room which is open from Sunday night till the close on Friday. And I'll be on the mic Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I'm just giving market commentary primarily on the E-mini S&P. I talk about what I'm seeing and what I may potentially be trading in the E-mini S&P, but I also comment on crude oil, 10-year, and euro currency futures. And of course, I'm the host of Futures Radio, which is sponsored by CME Group. So that brings me to today's show. I'm going to talk about what I see happening from a technical perspective in crude oil. We're going to touch base on 10-year and, of course, the E-mini S&P. Now, I want to talk about where I'm going to be next week. I'm going to be at the Global Financial Leadership Conference, known as the GFLC, which will be in Naples, Florida, hosted by the CME Group. Now, I'm going to talk about the list of speakers that I'll be listening to. And then next week, I'm going to report back to you on what their thoughts were on these current topics. Now, before I attend this conference, which begins on Monday, by the way, I want you to email me, info@eminiexchange, or use the hashtag FuturesRadio, some key points that you would be interested in hearing from these speakers. I want it to be as though you would be attending the show yourself. So I'm going to begin with that, and I want to go over the list of speakers that I will be attending and listening to. And we're going to begin with Ehud Barak, former Prime Minister of Israel. Now, he is going to be discussing the future of the Middle East. Now, we know as traders, this has been a topic really since 9/11, 2001, constant headlines and drivers of the market, anything from crude oil to bonds to currencies to S&P. It is constantly moving our market. Hearing his outlook on what he thinks the future of the Middle East is, especially during a time right now, as there's still a lot going on over there. It's never really boring over there, but I'm curious to see what he has to say. If there's any one particular thing you think that I should be focusing on, send me an email. Send me a tweet using hashtag Futures Radio. Now, next speaker is going to be Timothy Massad, Chairman, Commodity Futures Trading Commission. That's the CFTC. He's going to be talking about global regulatory overview and outlook. Now, as traders, you know, a lot of us day traders, we may not even care about rules and regulations, but ultimately, in the end, it always will affect us. And I've had several people on this show already, and we've talked about traders doing their homework, understanding the rule changes and what's happening in our industry. I mean, it's not just we wake up and sit at our machines and trade. You know, we're a part of this industry. We're a huge part of what I believe we should be listening and hearing what's happening in terms of regulation going forward. So if there's anything that you guys think that you are curious about that maybe he speaks about talking about the global regulatory overview and outlook, send me an email, send me a tweet, and I'll be sure to listen for that and comment on next week's show. Next is systemic risk. Are we better off today? Now, the moderator, Jillian Tett, is a U.S. managing editor for the Financial Times, and we have the following panelists. We have Jamil Nazarali, Senior Managing Director and Head of Execution Services at Citadel. We have Kevin Warsh, Member, Board of Governors, Federal Reserve System from 2006 to 2011. We have Andrew Lowe, Harris & Harris Group Professor, Director, MIT, Laboratory for Financial Engineering. Well, those are definitely some people with some credentials, and I'm going to be interested to see, because this is obviously a highly debatable issue, are we better off today? Is systemic risk better off today? And obviously, this is something that if any one of us traded during 2007 and 2008, you understand how busy that made us. And I am curious to see what they are going to say about, you know, these systemic risk possibilities going forward. So that should be a very interesting topic to listen to. Next is Freedom Manifesto, Free Markets versus Big Government. Now, who does CME Group have speaking on this topic? None other than Steve Forbes, editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. Now, I've listened to Steve Forbes over the years. We've all probably read his magazine at one point or another. And we kind of all know, if you follow Steve Forbes, where he stands on all of this. But it, once again, will be great to hear from Steve, Mr. Forbes, that is, on what he thinks of free markets versus big government. As we know, we've had a big political shift as of late with the Senate. Let's see what he has to say about that, and maybe he thinks that's going to start affecting the markets. Now, mass surveillance and national security is protecting privacy more important than keeping us safe from terrorism? That will be a question asked by Scott Wapner, host of CNBC's Fast Money Halftime Report. And his panelists will be General Keith Alexander, Director, National Security Agency, the NSA, from 2005 to 2014. And then Jeff Stone, Edward H. Levy, Distinguished Service Professor, University of Chicago, and Member, President's Review Group on Intelligence and Communications. Now remember, everybody, I know this is about trading, but these topics ultimately affect the markets at some point or another. It's not only about our privacy and keeping us safe in this country, it's about our money. It's about our money. So protecting privacy more important than keeping us safe from terrorism? I can't wait to hear what they have to say about that. And last but not least, for the closing keynote address, Mr. Mohammed El Alarian, Chairman, President Obama's Global Development Council, Chief Economic Advisor, Allianz, and former Co-Chief Executive Officer at PIMCO. And that's probably how most of us know Mr. El Alarian is from PIMCO, also a frequent guest on CNBC, Bloomberg, Fox Business News. We hear a lot from Mr. El Alarian. So we know he'll probably be doing his thing, talking about the global economic outlook, and maybe he'll give us a little bit of a summary of all the things that he has gotten from all the speakers here at the GFLC. Now, I want to take you to the next part, the next segment of today's show, and we're going to talk about some technicals. And what I want to talk about today is just give you guys a wider outlook, thought process on what's happening in crude oil, 10-year, and, of course, E-mini S&P. Now, most of you that know me know that I am a day trader, know that I am focusing more on the short term. So today I'm going to give you a little bit of a wider term perspective. And if you want to hear my short term thoughts, you can go to my website, get on our email list, and you could get my daily market commentary. But for today's show, I want to give you just a sense of what I think is happening on the bigger picture. Now, in crude oil right now, obviously we know there's so many reasons why we've seen this sell off, or at least people think these are the reasons why we've seen the sell off. I like to go from the technical perspective. I'm not going to talk about fundamentals. I'm not going to talk about supply or necessarily what's happening with companies and potentially what's happening in terms of production. I want to focus on what I see happening in terms of correlations. And also, I had a guest on not too long ago, Evan, which is at Sell Puts on Twitter, and he and I discussed this. And he's also put on a lot of great charts on Twitter and showing us how the dollar rally has obviously been a big factor in a crude oil sell-off. Now, how has that affected crude oil in terms of technicals on the big picture? Well, here's what I am noticing. If you go back and look at the last 3, 4 years, crude oil's had many lows in the mid-70s. They just recently took out a low that was in the 74 range, 74 area, and then made a lower low. But they did not take out what I think is a very important low, which is the February of 2009 low. And to give you that exact prices, I'm looking at my chart right now. That low is 63.63. Now, I think that's really where the pressure point is. I think that you could see crude oil maybe continue to go a little bit lower from here over the next month, 2 months, 3 months, or however long. I think until they take out that big picture swing low, that 2000 February of 2009 low, we're really just in the same range we've been in. Now, obviously, the key things I'll be watching going forward is the dollar. What is the dollar's action? Is the dollar continuing to rally? Is it continuing to cause weakness in the crude? Now, remember, just because that may be working now, the dollar may continue to rally, and then there's other reasons as to maybe why crude doesn't necessarily sell off. So it's something you always watch, but it's not something that may always work. As traders, we know things work until they don't. It's just the way it is. We know that right now it matters, but going forward, we'll see how long it lasts. And I think that until we see that low taken out, crude really looks to me like it's in the same type of range. Mid-70s, they've been making lows, and eventually they work their way back up to the 100 level. Now, what I also have noticed is that we've been making lower highs since that big high in 2008. We made a lower high in 2011, which was around the 115 and change area. Then we made a lower high in 2012, which comes in somewhere around, what was that high? 108.95. So just right around the 108, 109 area. And then we had a lower high in 2013, and then a lower high in 2014. So it's still favoring a bearish market here in crude oil. But in terms of much more to the downside, I think where you really see them get nervous and you could see some sort of capitulation type low is if we get below that 2009 low, that February 2009 low of 63.63. That gets violated, and then you have a chart that really starts to look ugly. And so I think that going forward, until they take out that low, I could see them trading in this range a little bit, but that will be a key low that I watch. And watch your daily moving averages going forward. It's just something I always like to talk about with traders. Obviously, I'm not going to get into support and resistance levels on a day-to-day basis in this show, but I want to talk about just using the daily moving averages. I look at the 10 and 20-day moving averages, simple moving averages, just as heat checks for trend. And right now, the 10-day moving average in crude, which is not that far away, is something I will be watching because when you get these bounces in the market, whether you're trading crude oil or S&P futures, it doesn't matter. 10-day moving averages, that 2-week moving average, it just gives you a really nice short-term look of trend. Are we staying below it? Are there sellers there? Are they getting back above it? And maybe now, they start running them to maybe testing the 20-day moving average. So right now, 77.38 is 10-day moving average. I'd keep a close eye on that to see if they continue to hug that to the downside. And then above that, 79.40 is the 20-day moving average. So that's another place I'd look for to see if there's sellers off of this recent bounce, now that I think that the crude bulls may be back a little bit, and those would be resistance levels I'd be watching going forward. Now, 10-year. 10-year and S&P have really had an interesting past, few years. When we haven't known if good news is good news, bad news is bad news, we think that that's starting to actually work this way now again, where good news, and we're talking about data points in the market. If good data rallies the S&P and potentially breaks or sells off the bonds or the 10-year, we're looking to see if that's coming back into play. And I think slowly but surely it is. That's just something I'll be watching going forward. Now, what I want to talk about in the 10-year, Tenure had that big capitulation high. Obviously, most of us have never seen a move like that in the 10-year or 30-year before. I know that I've been in this business for 20 years, and I've never seen a move like that in the 10-year. Not that I can even remember. Not that violent and that fast. So they definitely had that big rally and then had come back down. And since then, they've been trending lower, which means, for those of you that don't know what that means, is that means that rates have been slowly going back up again. We got really low on rates in the 10-year, and then now they've been slowly drifting back down. I think what you want to watch for in the 10 years, what I've noticed lately, is that they keep getting near the 50-day moving average and bouncing. That comes in at 125.28. They got close to it two times the month of November so far. They started off a little bit weak in November, then they made a lower low, and then they rallied up and made a high, and now we're sitting near the top part of the range, right around the 20-day moving average. So I think for 10-year traders going forward, I will be watching to see how we trade on the bigger picture perspective around this 50-day moving average. I think it's important. 125.28, that's a 50-day simple moving average. If they continue to hold above that, I think you're looking at a sideways, maybe a little bit drift higher in 10-year. If you start seeing daily or closes or multiple day closes below this 50-day moving average, then I think you're starting to see rates potentially go back up again. And I'll be curious to see how they end the year. But the 50-day moving average is my number one look right now in 10-year, and I think it's a bigger picture pivot to watch going forward. Now, E-mini S&P, we know what's been going on here. I mean, anybody who's anybody, even if you're not a day trader and you're just starting to get into it, you know that we've been on this remarkable bull run in the market. We just had that recent pullback to the low 1800s, 1813, and we've all the way come back to last price I think traded on S&P futures was 2038 on Friday. What a rally off of that low. And I think that it just goes to show you that the bull market is still intact. I'm not going out loud, saying something that's outrageous here, but it has been an unbelievable rally off this recent low. I don't think anybody saw that coming. I know for sure I did not see it coming that as quick as it did. And eventually we adapted to it and ended up, doing okay trading it. And I think that that is something we have to look at going forward. The bulls are there. And historically, a lot of people are going to say this is the time of year that the market tends to drift higher. And although I do agree with that, I think we have to look at a few things go what are happening, what's happening right now, and a few things going forward. Now, first of all, I don't like seasonal markets to say, well, this usually happens, because I've been in markets in November where they've broken really hard, and or even December for that matter. And so you don't want to always hold your head on that. If it does happen and you see it's happening, then you just are aware of it going forward. But what I find interesting going on right now in the S&P is what's happening with the other markets. NASDAQ, as I've said from day one this year in our trading room and to all of our traders, this is the year to be long the NASDAQ. Why? Well, the reason is because they're the only ones that have not made an all-time high. Okay, if we are truly in a bull market, they're going after that all-time high. Money knows that and senses it. That's the market to be long if we're going to continue to go higher, because it should continue to outperform. So the fact that NASDAQ continues to lead rallies, that is very hard for the bears to deal with. Now, with that being said, there's been some other things happening just currently that I think hurt the bears or hurt the bulls. You have the IBB. Now, the IBB and also the XLE. Now, the IBB is the NASDAQ Biotech ETF. They have now run into a scenario where they can't make a higher high. Now, in the past, this has been an indicator to potentially rotate the NASDAQ itself off of recent highs. May that happen this time? Could this happen this time? Sure. But it's something that until you see the NASDAQ future start to rotate lower with the IBB, then I find that divergence to favor the bulls. Bulls have been able to fix divergences easier than the bears. You also have the XLE within the S&P, which has been struggling. We know that has to do with crude oil prices. Maybe crude has found a little bit of a short-term low here. Maybe they start to rally. Maybe XLE now starts to drive higher. How does that affect S&P? So we have some divergences going on right now that I think are important to watch. And as I've said, divergences have been bullish for the market for the past 5 years. So I don't see that necessarily changing. I think it could bring us in a possible rotation back lower, and then you watch to see what the upside leaders are doing again. Upside leader is NASDAQ. And you also have a Dow that's been acting very strong lately with a very strong XLF. Now, XLF as of last week was a little bit softer, but overall done very well. So I go to those markets and I wait to see what they do if we start to pull back. Does the Russell, IBB, XLE, the weaker parts of the market, pull us back, and then eventually you see the stronger parts hold support and then rotate us back up? That has been a consistent theme. So anytime we see divergences, I think on the longer term they're bullish. On the shorter term, they're sideways with potential pullbacks. But watch your upside leader in the NASDAQ going forward, S&P traders. If that NASDAQ continues to outperform on a day-to-day basis, or if we get weak in the market, and then you see the NASDAQ be the one to start rotating back. Now, I'm talking about this on the bigger picture. And I'm not going to get into, obviously, intraday stuff. That is for us to do in our trading rooms and when I put out my morning brief. But it's something you always keep in the back of your mind. When there is divergences, when we get weak, and then the leaders of the market that have been strong, do they start turning around? And if they do, that has been an indication almost every time that eventually the S&P starts to follow everybody back to the upside. So that is it for this week's show. But what I want to remind you is please go to eMoneyExchange.com, get on our email list. This way you'll know when the show is posted, who the guest is, and what topics we will be covering. And follow me on Twitter and StockTwits at Anthony Crudelli and use the hashtag Futures Radio for your questions or comments. This show is for you. This show is for traders. We want this show to be part of your weekly routine. Whether you're new to trading or a seasoned veteran, Futures Radio is where we want you to begin your week. So before I let you go, traders always ask me, Anthony, how do you begin your day? What do you feel is important for me being a trader that I come into this business? What do I need to do? And I say the three words every week, and I get the questions as to what do I mean by these questions, by these three words. I always say preparation, anticipation, and execution. And the reason I say that is because when I'm prepared, then I anticipate well, and then I execute well. So when I say preparation, anticipation, execution, those are the three words I remind myself every day. Am I prepared? Then I'm ready to anticipate, and then ultimately my execution will be ready to go. So that does it for this week's show. And please look out for the email regarding next week's guests and topics. I look forward to hearing your questions for the GFLC coming up. So please email me or send me a message on Twitter. Take care and trade well.